We're continuing in the book of Yonah. They had set sail. Yonah is aware that he might die on this journey, and he's fully prepared to do that out of his love for the Jewish people, and he thinks that he's in line with the will of Hashem. And so we're up to the first chapter, the fourth pasuk. We'll read it again. V'Adonai Heitil Ruach Gedola El Hayam. Hashem brought down a great wind to the sea. V'Yehi Sar Gadol Bayam. And at sea, there was this great turbulence. So the waves are taking on huge proportions. V'ha Onia Chisheva Lehishaver. And so the ship seemed like it was going to break. Vayireu ha-malachim. And so the sailors got very scared. Vayizaku ishel Elohav. Each one called out to their God. So we have two traditions on this pasuk. One is that they looked around and they saw around them that all the other ships were traveling calmly. Only their ship had this tornado all around it. But everywhere they saw ships going calmly. They said that's not natural. The second thing is, we have a tradition that there were people representative of every one of the 70 nations on that ship. So they all started praying. Vayatilu et hakelim asher ba'onia el hayam. And so the first thing they do is they throw out all the vessels out to the sea. Lehakel me'aleihem. They thought to lighten the load. V'yona yarad el yarketei asefina. Yonah went down to the bottom of the ship. He figured that's where people die first. Ordinarily, people go to the top of the ship when a ship's going down. He goes to the bottom. He figures, if I'm going to die, let me die first. Maybe that will spare the rest. Vayishkav vayeradam. And he lay down and he fell asleep. He figures, if I'm down there, then I'm dead. The waves won't take me anywhere. And he knows it's his fault. So if he dies first, maybe they'll be scared. He can go to sleep. How do you fall asleep in such turbulence? You fall asleep because he's at peace with himself. Because Yonah thinks, I'm doing what Hashem wants. And here we learn another interesting lesson. How difficult it is to manage in this world and live a life according to the will of Hashem. Here Yonah is willing to give everything in the name of Hashem, and he's going full speed in the wrong direction. So Yonah can go to sleep. He's at peace with himself. Everyone else is worried. He's not worried. He's ready to face his Creator. But he's wrong. And this is the second message of the book. Very often, we're not worried walking into Yom Kippur. I'm a good guy. Why should I be worried? You know how many merits I have from this year? You know how many things I can think of that I did right this year? Good for me. Yonah thinks he's right. And Yonah goes to sleep and he can sleep. You see, he didn't just lie down. He went to sleep. He went to sleep. And the captain comes close to him. He realizes there's no natural way they're getting out. And so he figures, we have people here from every nation. They're all praying. Why isn't he praying? He's reached a point where the captain is not on top guiding the ship. The captain of the ship came to a realization, there's no way I can get us out of this. So the captain says, my job now is to get everyone to pray. If the captain is ordinarily the guy, you think about it, you're on a plane, there's turbulence, things aren't going right. So the captain comes back and says, boy, start praying. What does that feel like?
What are you waiting for?
Right, what are you waiting for? So The captain goes to the bottom of the ship. He says, Yonah, what are you doing? Why aren't you praying? Because he's come to a conclusion. There's no natural explanation for what's going on here. Kum kira el Elohecha. Get up and call to your God. Ulai yitashet Elohim lanu v'lo noved. Maybe the God, whoever he is, the gods, will have other thoughts if we pray to them. And here we get the third great message of this beautiful book. Even the non-Jews, every person knows, pray. We sometimes think you have to be Jewish, the book of Yonah is telling you about the prayer and tshuva of non-Jews. The Medrash says that one day Adam met Cain, his own son Cain, who murdered his other son Hevel. And he said to him, "No, what happened in your day at court?" So he says, "Boy, I got this huge decree against me." Adam says, "And what?" He says, "And I did tshuva. And then Hashem cut away half of it." Adam goes, "Really? Tshuva can accomplish that? I didn't know that. I didn't know that." So Adam didn't realize that tshuva can accomplish so much. Cain, the first murderer on the planet, murdered his own brother, right? They're out there talking. Cain was jealous. Hevel had a more beautiful wife. So Cain pounces on him to kill him. And Hevel wins. And he has Cain pinned to the ground. And Hevel's ready to kill him. And Cain says, "Please don't. I'm your brother. You can't kill me." And Hevel says, "You know what? You're right. Even though you started with me, I won't kill you." And so Hevel lets go of Cain and leaves. Vayakom Cain, the verse says, Cain got back on his feet after he was pinned and almost dead, and Hevel had mercy on him. El Hevel Achiv, he pounced on Hevel, his brother, when he wasn't ready. Vayargehu, and killed his brother Hevel. What a terrible deed. Think about that. His brother just spared his life, and a minute later he's killing him. And still, tshuva accomplished for him. Half the decree is wiped away. The non-Jewish captain, who's a pagan, comes to Yonah and says, "Pray." And we will learn in this whole story why are we talking about non-Jews? Why is this important to us? Why on Yom Kippur are we talking about a non-Jewish nation, the enemy of the Jewish people? We're going to see. So comes to him and says, "Pray. Maybe not all is lost." Maybe not all is lost. The recurring theme of the book of Yonah. You think everything's gone? Maybe not. Try praying. Try tshuva. So the first step of the book is tshuva, prayer. Tells him pray. So they tell one another, Lechu v'napil lagoralot. Let's draw lots. Let's figure out. Let's draw lots. Why lots? We're going to do this again and again and again and see if there's any system here as to why this is happening to us. So they threw lots. Lot number one comes out on who? Yonah. Lot number two comes out on who? Yonah. Three. Again. Every lot they draw, Yonah comes out again. So then they said, "Okay, we got a problem. We were hoping different names would come up. We think it was all of our fault. But when one name keeps coming up, so it sort of tells us it's his fault." So it fell every time on Yonah and no one else. No one else's name got picked. All the lots came out Yonah. They took everyone's name, they wrote it on a piece of paper, put it in, mixed it, pulled out a name, Yonah. Put it back in, mixed it again, pulled out a name, Yonah again. Did it a third time, it's Yonah. So what would we do? Here's what they do. They come and they talk very gently. Hagidana alanu, can you please tell us, as though we're not all on the verge of dying. We have time. We're going to talk nicely. Can you tell us whose fault it is? What's going on here? Why do you think this is happening to us? They ask Yonah. They're not pointing fingers. They say, can you tell us why? What do you do? Maybe the God of your task is upset at us. They thought maybe you work at a shoemaker, and the God of shoemakers is upset at us, and we'll offer him a sacrifice, all of our shoes. Tell us, what do you do? Maybe it's the God of your task that's upset at us. Where are you coming from? Maybe you came to the Jaffa port from a country that the God is upset at that country. So we'll offer a sacrifice that fits that. Ma'altzecha, what country are you from? Maybe that's the key to gaining atonement. Ve'mize'am ata. So this is the nature of man. They are being very nice to him. They're saying, maybe there's something around that's a problem. But really, Yonah is going to answer them the real answer, and this is what we're trying to bring out from within ourselves as we head towards Yom Kippur. Yonah says, no, it has nothing to do with my job, it has nothing to do with my people, it has nothing to do with the country I came from or the country I was born in, it has to do with what I'm doing, right? That's the point we have a hard time seeing. I once went to the foot doctor, I had something... I don't know what it's called, something, maybe a wart on the bottom of my foot. And I said to the skin doctor, I said, it's a very strange thing. When I had it, so I kept feeling this bump in my shoe. So I kept looking through the soles of my shoe. I looked at the bottom of the shoe, there was no bump there. I looked at the insole, there was no bump there. Then I changed socks, there was no bump there. I couldn't find where it was from. And then finally, I looked at my foot and I saw there's this wart there. I said, I didn't even feel like it was a part of me. It's not like I felt there was a wart in my foot. I felt there was a bump. So I looked everywhere. So I think it was Dr. Boldinger. He says to me, let that be a lesson for life to you. Whenever there's a problem, we look everywhere. The last place we look is ourselves. I said, you know what? You're right. What? Nothing. It was on me. I had a wart on my foot. It wasn't in the shoe, it wasn't in the sock, it wasn't on the sole, it was not. It was me. But that was the last place I looked. So the people here are telling him, maybe it's something else. And Yonah is going to say that powerful message, and he says, no, it's me. Vayomer aleihem ivri anochi. He says to them, I'm a Hebrew. Ve'et Adonai Elohei HaShamayim ani yarei. We're different. We don't have all these gods. We believe in one God. God of heaven. Asher asa et hayam ve'et hayabasha. He's above all of this. But you know what? He created all of this. Vayiru anashim yirah gedolam. So they got very scared. Because he's telling them, everything you ask me is irrelevant. I believe in Hashem, and he's the master of everything. And you know what? I'm running away from him. And they ask him, well, you believe that Hashem controls the heavens and controls the earth, and he's the master of everything. So how could you not listen to him? Yonah, what's wrong with you? You just told us he's the master of everything. So look at the scene. The chief rabbi of Israel is standing on a ship with 70 pagans, and they're all looking at him and saying, how are you not listening to Hashem? What's wrong with you, Yonah? We're all about to die, and it's all because of you. Could you please do tshuva? Right? So you have all these non-Jews standing, looking at Yonah and saying, Mazot asita, what's wrong with you? Why? How could you do that? Ki yade'u ha'anashim, ki milifnei Adonai uvoreach. They knew that he was running away from Hashem. Ki higid lahem. He told them. So they're begging him, Yonah, we're all going to die. Could you please do tshuva? Yonah, accept upon yourself to listen to Hashem. Yonah says, no. And they say, but Yonah, we're all going to die. So the sailors begged him. They said, so what are we supposed to do now? You're not willing to do tshuva. We'll take you to Nineveh. What do you want us to do? How can we get the sea to calm down? We're all in danger. Because you're not, it's only getting worse every minute. So Yonah says, no, I'm not going back to port, and I'm not going back to Nineveh. I think that there's only one reason that there's turmoil here, and that is because I'm supposed to die. Because I'm not doing tshuva, I'm not going back. But you guys, you don't have to go with me. Sa'uni vatilu uni elayam, throw me into the sea. V'ishtokayam me'alechem, and then the sea will go quiet. Ki yodeh ani, it's clear to me that it's not a punishment to you, but rather ki visheli. It's all because of me. Hasar hagadol hazeh aleichem. Even if you guys are now willing to change courses, you won't go to Tarshish, you'll travel to Nineveh. Well, you know what? I'm not willing to go. And the only reason there's this turmoil is not your fault, because you're willing to listen to Hashem. So you guys are okay. And if the turbulence is continuing, it's all because of me. So throw me in. So the people said, you know what? Let's try. We'll say, God, give us a chance. We'll put him back on dry land in Israel, and then you do what you want with him. We won't take him to Nineveh. He's saying he won't go. But let us go back to dry land. They try to bring the ship back to dry land. It's not working. But the sea is going more and more wild against them. So they called out to Hashem and they said, Ana Adonai, Ana Noveda. Hashem, you're showing us that you care. You're showing us that you're paying attention. Then don't hold it against us now, because we're going to have to kill him. Don't hold it against us that we shouldn't all be lost, because b'nefesh ha'ish hazeh, over the life of this man. V'al titein aleinu dam naki. Please, you're forcing us to spill clean blood. We don't know of any ill that he's done. So now you're going to hold it against us that we're murderers? We don't want to. So please, let us succeed. Let's get rid of him. Ki ata Adonai kasher chafatzta asita. They said, Ribon Shel Olam, you can't blame us for this. You've done what you've chosen to do. You put us in this predicament where we have no way out. And the only thing we can do at this point is to put him in. You can't blame us. Vaisu et Yonah. So they lifted Yonah. Our tradition is that they put him into his feet and the sea went quiet. They had him with a rope. They put him down till his feet, the sea went calm. The sea went calm, they looked around, they said, oh, okay, fine, good thing we didn't toss him overboard. It's all over. They pull him back in. The sea goes crazy all over again. The ship is being tossed back and forth. They see, this can't be. This can't be okay. So they take him, they put him in again. They put him down till his feet. The sea is still wild. They go down till his waist. The sea calms down. So now they're going to wait. A minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Everything's calm. Everyone's catching their breath. They can't believe it. It's amazing. Okay, okay, okay. They pull him back in. The sea goes wild again. Okay, what are they supposed to do now? So they say, okay, now we're sorry, we're going to die. We don't really have a choice here. So they put him overboard, and they let him down, and now the sea won't go quiet till he reaches the top of his chest. Only his head is bobbing above the water, and the sea calms down. So they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and everything's calm. And they wait, and they're waiting, and after everything's been calm long enough that it actually makes sense, they draw him back in, and what do you think happens the next minute? The sea goes wild on them. And they're crying now. What are we supposed to do? God, you're showing us straight. What are we supposed to do? they let him down the final time. They let him down to his feet, the sea is still tossing them back and forth. They let him down to his waist, the sea is still tossing back and forth. They let him down to his head, the sea is still going wild. They let him down beneath his head, the sea is still going wild. They have no choice, they let go of the rope that's holding him under his arms. And when they let go of the rope and he goes down, the sea goes quiet. They're watching. What's going to happen is you're not going to swim. What's going to happen? Yonah doesn't want to live. So, Vaisu et Yonah vaitilu el hayam vayam odayam izapo. The sea settles. And they're watching. What's going to happen with Yonah? But Yonah only goes down because he's not swimming. He's not fighting to live. He understands Hashem wants me dead, and that's okay. I've done my duty in this world. I could have destroyed the Jewish people, and I chose to stand up for Hashem's name and give up my life rather than be a factor in their destruction. I will not be an accomplice to that. Okay. Vayireu anashim yira gedola et Adonai. The people had a tremendous awe and fear of Hashem. Vayizbichu zevach l'Adonai. Right away on that ship, they each circumcised themselves. Vayideru nidarim. They took vows. We're all converting to Judaism. We are going back and telling our families what we just saw. And they all have to convert. And I will just suggest an idea. Why is it that they circumcised on the ship right away? I want to suggest, my own humble suggestion, that it could be they asked themselves, why? Why are we so drawn away from this religion? It's because we want promiscuity, as it says in the Talmud, as it says in the Rambam. The major reason why people have an issue with Judaism is because Hashem created this amazing desire within us. There's a tremendous drive that people have for promiscuity. And so our sages say even the Jewish people only pursued paganism because they wanted to have some kind of out to be able to say it's legitimate to do whatever we want with women. So it could be that these people at this moment came to a realization. And when they came to that realization, they said, how are we going to take control of ourselves and make sure we don't go full speed in the wrong direction again? So they said, let's circumcise ourselves. Let's do an act that shows we take control of our desires. Suggestion. Vayiman Adonai da'ag gadol livloa et Yonah. So Hashem had prepared this amazing fish right there to swallow him whole. Now, inside the fish, Yonah thinks it's over. So Hashem has him swallowed in the fish. Now this has happened. This is recorded. You guys can look it up. There are times that people get swallowed by a fish and they come out. And there are whales, big fish that swallow people. And then inside the acid of the fish, there have been times that they actually captured the fish, sliced them open, and found the man alive inside. Right, you know, a whale opens its mouth, it can fit in like 10 tables like this, you know, they're big, right? Okay, so they can fit in 5-10 people. So their digestive tract, though, has a lot of acidic juices. So Yonah is in there. Now, Yonah thinks, okay, I'm dead. It's just swallowed by fish. And Hashem doesn't plan on letting him die. So Yonah is holding on to his conviction. When he goes down in the water, he doesn't try to swim. When he gets swallowed by the fish, he's being burnt by acid, says nothing, okay? This is all a test. I'm not going to turn. And this is a reminder to us how hard it is for us to change our ways. Sometimes Hashem has to put a person through so many things before they're willing to open up their eyes and say, maybe I should really switch courses. Maybe I'm on the wrong path. Yonah believes he's going for the sake of Hashem. And so now he's swallowed by the fish, and he has 3 days in burning acid where he does not change his mind. Vayhi Yonah b'mei hadag shlosha yamim u'shlosha leilot. 3 days and 3 nights. He's there, burning, not giving in. Not giving in. Look at how stubborn us human beings can be. This is right. I'm going to do it. Okay? After 3 days and 3 nights, he comes to a realization. He has a lot of time to think, right? He's alone in the dark. He has a lot of time to think, and he keeps thinking, I'm going to die. And he sees he's not dying. It's not natural. Ah, so Hashem has a different plan for me. ויתפלל יונה אל אדוני אלוהיו ממאי הדגן. So Yonah started praying after 3 days in the innards of the female fish. So here we have interesting midrashim. The midrash says that initially, again, I gave one interpretation. There's another interpretation. Initially, Yonah was swallowed by a male fish. And he had room. He could walk around. Things were comfortable. And the fish told him, Yonah, today I'm doomed. Every day a different fish has to go down to this huge fish in the sea called the Leviathan and gets eaten by him. Today's my turn. So I'm going to be eaten in a minute. So Yonah says, I'll help you out. Bring me down. Let me see him. So the fish takes him down, and Yonah says to the Leviathan, he says, I wanted to see you. I'm so glad to see you. So the Leviathan, obviously this is a medrash, right? You understand. So the Leviathan says to him, who are you and what are you here for? Yonah says, I'm the one who's going to slaughter you in the days of the Mashiach. I wanted to check out where you're living. And then the Medrash says he showed him his circumcision. He showed him the covenant of Avraham Avinu. And the Leviathan ran. He said, I'm not touching. Get me out of here. I'm not touching this. And with that, he saved the life of the fish that swallowed him. And then the fish said, okay, you saved my life. I'll give you a tour of the underground. And he took him to different places. He showed him where the Jews crossed the Yam Suf. And he showed him how the seas are connected under the earth. And he showed him how there's water under the earth. And you could even go under the Holy of Holies, the Beit HaMikdash. And he says to Yonah, now, I'm taking you right now under the Holy of Holies, daven here. And that's where Yonah will daven. But the Medrash says, Yonah was having a good time in the fish. So Hashem said, enough of that. And so Hashem transferred him from a male fish to a female fish. And the female fish was pregnant, filled with eggs that were going to be hatched. Things were very tight and tough over there. And there, he changed his mind. That's why it says he was 3 days in the male fish, and then he prayed to Hashem from the female fish. This is a medrash, okay? The regular interpretation, the other midrashim say, or the other medrash says that he was in the male fish, and in the male fish he was burning up. He was there the way we know naturally that a person would burn up. He was burning up. There was some miraculous aspect here that he could stay alive in spite of all that. But according to the Medrash, when he's going to come out of the fish, all his skin is going to be burnt off. All his hair, eyelashes, eyebrows. He's going to look like some kind of monster. He's not going to look like a regular human being. And that's why when he will walk into Nineveh, people will look at him and say, what's that? And when he will start talking like a human being and saying, I was sent by God, the people are going to listen. And he doesn't have that much left to live, because he realizes that after what he's just undergone, anatomically, I mean, he's lost his skin, he's been burnt in acid for 3 days, he's not going to live much longer. And so the last thing he's really going to see is the worst thing he wants to see. And that's why the Kikayon is so meaningful to him, because he really suffers from the sun. He has no skin. He's really suffering. He has flies all over him when he comes out of that fish, because he's like raw meat. Like his skin's been burnt. So this is a tragic, somewhat tragic ending to Yonah's life, this book, according to that. So we move forward. Again, the message. How long will it... He dies shortly after the book ends. Yes. How long will it take us to understand what Hashem wants of us? How stubborn will we be in the face of the recurring themes we see from Hashem? So Yonah keeps fighting. Now, on the one hand, we have to learn from Yonah. On the other hand, we have to remember that Yonah is a giant, and the Medrash says he's coming with Mashiach. He's the one that's going to slaughter that big fish called Leviathan, whatever that means. He has a job to play in the days of the Mashiach. So Yonah is a champion of the Jewish people. The fact that he fought on our behalf, he made a certain mistake, but he's still one of the great protagonists of the Jewish people in Jewish history. And Yonah says in his prayer, Karati, we're up to Pasuk Gimel. I call to Hashem from my affliction and Hashem answers me. Mi beten sheol shivati shamata koli. And this is another theme of the book of Yonah. Person is never allowed to give up. There's no such thing as a person who is not heard by Hashem or not seen by Hashem. The recurring theme of the book of Yonah, Hashem says, I'm paying attention to everyone, and I care for everyone. And if Yonah has repeatedly taken strides against the will of Hashem, and now he's disappeared from all of humanity, no one knows where he is, no one's going to save him. The sailors are watching, and they don't know where he is. He's sunk in the water, and they see a fish come and swallow him. They see the whale come and swallow him, and they go off, and that's it. So what have they seen? They've seen Yonah go down, Yonah get swallowed, and oh boy. So you know, they saw Yonah wasn't going to swim, he wasn't going to try to live, and then they see this big fish coming, whoop, he's gone. And even there, he's gone, he's in a fish, he's in the darkness, he's being consumed by acid. He's going to dive in, he knows Hashem's going to listen. The first point of tshuva, as is recorded by the Navi Yeshaya, but is famously quoted by Rav Kook Zatzal in the beginning of his book, Orot HaTshuva. The most basic element of tshuva is a person has to believe in tshuva. The most basic point to doing tshuva is a person has to believe, I can do it. Hashem wants me back. I can do tshuva. And so the beginning of Yonah's prayer is, I know at the depths, I'm going to daven, and Hashem's going to listen. I want to end with a story. We'll do, our time is up.